Good morning, Your Honors. I will spend my first 5 minutes.
Would you please introduce yourself for the record?
My first name is spelled O-L-U-M-I-D-E. The last name is O-B-A-Y-E-M-I. It's pronounced Obayemi, just like Obama.
Mr. Obayemi. Very well.
Your Honor, I want to spend my first 5 minutes, and I will save 5 minutes for rebuttal. Your Honor, this case has three issues. The first issue is as to whether the petitioner has stated a case that has a nexus to the protected grounds under the Immigration and Nationality Act. The second issue is whether there are adequate basis for finding that the petitioner is not credible. I believe, Your Honor, that the last issue is as to whether the punishment that was meted out to the petitioner in Ethiopia qualifies as a persecution. As to the first issue, whether there is a nexus, Your Honor, it is stated in many parts of this case that the petitioner was persecuted on account of imputed political opinion as well as his race.
What is the imputed political opinion? Because what he actually says is that, you know, his medical ethics, his sense of ethics, differed from the resource allocation philosophy that his superiors had. So why would the IJ and the BIA be compelled to find that it was on account of ethnicity or on account of the views of a group that he wasn't a member of?
Oh, Your Honor, as it has been held in this circuit, in the case of Sangha, S-A-N-G-H-A, the issue is not the actual opinion held by the petitioner. It is what the persecutor imputes on the petitioner, whether right or wrong. If a person deems, if as this man who is of Amhara ethnicity and the ruling tribe is a Tigrayan, the Tigrayan believed that when Mr. Ayucho tried to save the people in the Amhara region, he was advocating for the political interest of the Amhara. They said, you are anti-government, you are anti-ERPDF, which is the ruling government at that time. So, Your Honor, the issue is not whether Mr. Ayucho actually held was a part of the appeal.
I understand that.
Yes.
What I'm looking for is evidence in the record that would compel the BIA to find otherwise.
Yes. Your Honor, in the record we have several references to race, Your Honor. And for example, at page I believe at page 129 of the record, an officer from the Prime Minister, I believe, from the Prime Minister's office, actually met Mr. Ayucho and then accused him and said, he told me, that's, I'm quoting that from line 12 to 15, he said, in addition to that, what he said in addition to that, he told me that while I'm a government employee, that I am promoting the idea or the policy or the mission of our organization. And the next question was that what we are doing? I was not promoting that. I was not actively participating. However, as an our person, yes, I do support them. I do support the ideas. But I was not doing anything to promote any of their missions. You know, what is borne out in this fact and other parts of the record is that the issue of Amhara is ethnicity was, and the issue of the goals held by the Amhara organization was a central issue that motivated the persecution in this case. And, you know, as well, as we have stated in the brief, This same, unfortunately, in this case, the Amhara ethnicity is closely intertwined with the political, imputed political opinion. That is why it is very tenuous in trying to distinguish both in this case. Your Honor, I would save my last
You may do so, counsel. We'll hear from the BIA.
May it please the Court, Mark Penick of the U.S. Department of Justice. I represent the Attorney General in this proceeding. The result in this case is compelled by the standard of review, and that is that there is no evidence in this case that would compel this Court to reverse the BIA's decision here that, one, he wasn't beaten at all, the petitioner was not, and two, in any case, whatever mistreatment he may have suffered was not on account of a protected ground, a ground for which the Congress has assigned.
What evidence supports the fact that he wasn't beaten at all?
The IJ said and held that he did not believe that he was mistreated. The BIA, on page 2 and page 3 of the record.
He did not believe? What was the evidence? He testified. I mean, if you accepted his testimony as true, he testified that he was detained and beaten. What's the evidence that he wasn't?
The evidence that the IJ found persuasive was, in fact, that the government allowed him, the petitioner, to engage in 3 international travels taking place of each of the alleged beatings.
And which he explained were at the invitation of the World Health Organization, and that the government really had no choice. And then the IJ
found that inherently implausible.
Well, you're right. Right. Based on what?
Based upon his understanding of how this system works.
What is that? What does he know about the World Health Organization?
Exactly. There's a common sense element to the IJ's ruling and the BIA's ruling. But it doesn't really matter,
Your Honor. You characterize it as speculative.
I don't think it was. I think it's a fair inference based on common sense. But in any event, it doesn't matter, because the idea here that there was, in fact, the beatings or the discipline was based upon a protected ground is at the heart of the IJ's and indeed the BIA's ruling here. He was disciplined, if he was disciplined at all, for rank insubordination. The BIA held that that is not political opinion. That holding is entitled to deference. Political opinion is entitled to be construed by the board in the first instance in its scope. Indeed, this morning, and I wanted to bring this to the Court's attention because I just learned of it, the Supreme Court issued a new decision on that very subject. It's called Nagusi Inichi.
The Supreme Court issued it this morning, you say?
This morning, Your Honor. I just learned about my BlackBerry.
Breaking news.
It's breaking news. The Nagusi versus Holder, NEGUSIE, is 07-499, in which the Supreme Court reaffirmed once again that the BIA, and this is not new, was entitled to determine the meaning of the Immigration Act in the first instance. And indeed, the Immigration Act, mistaken in interpretation that it was bound in a certain way by a prior precedent, was in fact wrong, and then remanded the case for initial determination of that provision. And that was the prosecutor's bar for a talon in that case. But the point on this is that it is reasonable for the BIA to hold that rank insubordination is not a protected ground.
Well, I think that's probably true, that insubordination is a protected ground. But isn't it a factual question whether this was insubordination or because of where he came from in the country he disagreed with the government policy of not publicizing plagues and diseases in parts of the country that the government was, against or trying to subordinate?
2 points, Your Honor. First, of course, it's a factual inquiry. And again, the evidence of record here.
That would take it out of this new Supreme Court.
No, actually, it would take you into whether the evidence is, whether it's sufficient to compel the.
Right, but that's not what this new Supreme Court case talks
no,
about.
No.
Okay.
But the second point is, of course, the idea that the government employee may disregard government instruction not to do this. Now, the analogy, I think,
well, is. Well, suppose you were in Nazi Germany and you disobeyed the instruction to kill a Jew.
And that would be illegitimate, as this Court's case
would
is told.
Would that be political opinion, or would that
yes,
be
of course
insubordination?
It would. That would be absolutely political opinion. And this Court's cases, and we talk about this in our brief, draw the line between legitimate and illegitimate, between corruption, government policies that are basically corrupt or illegal or illegitimate, and those which are not. It is perfectly legitimate, the board held in this case, for the government to exercise control over contact between a government employee and outside foreign organizations. As a general principle, that seems to me beyond dispute.
All now, right. Well, is it at least open to you or to the BIA or the IJ to understand that in certain countries that the government might just let a certain ethnicity, a portion of the population die?
No, of course it's not inconceivable, Your Honor.
Isn't that happening all over the world?
It may well be, but there's no evidence of that in this case.
There isn't a record.
No, there isn't, Your Honor. All we have here is petitioner's own assertions, which is contradicted by the State Department's report that says that, in fact, those ethnic minorities the petitioner identifies are not discriminated against. That, in fact, dispute the evidence that there was no petitioner offered, there was no meningitis vaccination, is disputed. And indeed, there's evidence that the IJ admitted that shows that, in fact, that vaccinations were distributed all over Ethiopia. There is no evidence here of a genocidal campaign against any ethnic minority. All we have here is basically a petition who is a government employee saying, I want to contact, even though I'm not authorized to do so, outside organizations on outbreaks of diseases where the government has told him, make do with existing resources. We are the ones who determine who we contact outside the government, not you. And that's a legitimate exercise of government power. I'll give you, Your Honor, an example. If I were to go outside and hold a sign protesting government policies, that might be inferred. One could infer that was political opinion. And if I was prosecuted or persecuted on that ground, then you could draw the inference. But I took that same sign, and I start breaking windows, and I killed a police officer, and I was prosecuted for that, then I would be prosecuted because I broke the windows and I killed the police officer.
Does that hypothetical apply to this case?
Yes, it does, because what we have here, if petitioner was, in fact, simply a private citizen protesting the policies of his government with respect to vaccinations or whatever, then that may be one thing. But he wasn't. He was disciplined because he engaged in rank insubordination and disobeyed his political superiors' instructions that we are the ones that contact these outside organizations, not you. We are the ones to determine how we're going to allocate scarce resources, not you. Your job is to do what we tell you to do. Harsh, for sure, but legitimate, absolutely. And that's what the BIA held, and that's what is entitled to deference. I can see that my time is almost up. I wanted to quickly address the CAT claim. The degree of persecution here is disputed. The IJ and the BIA said we don't believe he's persecuted at all, indeed, that he didn't suffer any kind of beatings. We know for a fact from petitioner's own testimony that after the first detention, he wasn't beaten at all. He wasn't even interrogated. He was simply held for 3 days and then released, and he went to work the next day. Then second detention, he says he was beaten, but for 15 minutes a night for 4 nights. But no scars, no injuries, no trauma. He went to work after recovering from an illness within a week. That's not torture. It was not a history of torture. And there is independent evidence in this case that shows that persons of his ethnicity are not persecuted upon return of Ethiopia. There is no threat. And again, as petitioners must show by preponderance of the evidence, it's more likely than not that he will be, in fact, tortured. He wasn't tortured in the past. There's no showing that he would be tortured again if he returned. This is, I submit, very easy on the CAT claim, because there's simply no basis to conclude that he was either tortured or he faced torture.
Now, so this case is pre-Real ID.
Correct, Your Honor.
Now, is there a nuance there that we should be aware of?
I identified that in the footnote, but I think the cases that we cited in our brief here also predate the Real ID with respect to the weight of credibility or the credibility determinations factors that the IJ may consider. And I think it really doesn't make much difference in this particular case whether the Real ID applies or not, because even before Real ID, the IJ and the BIA was entitled to make credibility determinations and use their common sense in doing so, which is precisely what they've done here. I submit to the Court that the Court should affirm the BIA's determination and dismiss the petition.
Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you.
Counsel, you have some reserve time.
Yes, Your Honor. First of all, I will make reference quickly to the Nazi Germany analogy, Your Honor. In this case, in the second arrest, the issue that led to the second arrest of the petitioner, 2,100 people had died in the Amhara region. There was loss of lives. In the case of Tagaga, T-A-G-A-G-A, in which this court sustained that a person could disobey an illegal or illegitimate order of a government, that was only a case that bothered with stealing of funds. But in this case, before the petitioner was arrested, 2,100 people had died. There was loss of lives. So if loss of life would not compel a conscientious doctor to disobey an indirect genocide order from the government, Your Honor, I cannot see what else would marry that.
Counsel, the government attorney says there's nothing in the record that supports that there was this loss of life due to disease and plague.
Your Honor, yes, Your Honor, I believe between pages 133 to 145 of the, page 133 to 145 of the administrative record, Your Honor, I will look for that as I'm talking. Yes, there was mentioned that was about 21 other people had lost their lives in that in this case. And while I'm looking for that, Your Honor, I want to direct the court's attention to page 309 of the administrative record. That is the country report. At the very last paragraph, that record states that in Ethiopia, as at that time, there was evidence there were that the prison conditions were poor, that the security forces committed extrajudicial killings by beating and mistreating detainees. You know, and then there were arbitrary arrests, detention, prolonged pretrial detention, as long as and many other incidences of atrocities. Further, at page 312, this document talks elaborately on the fact that there were torture and other cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment happening in Ethiopia at that time. Further, Your Honor, at page 328, this document mentioned that there were serious racial and ethnic clashes leading to death in Ethiopia. So, Your Honor, when all these statements are taken in context, this would show that in Ethiopia, the people who was not in government were suffering were persecuted by the ruling government because there was ethnic mutual distrust. And this is brought more by the recent case of this Ninth Circuit, which is SINHA against Older. And in this case, the court mentioned that where there is a long-standing racial tension, ethnic tension in a country, that would contribute to a finding of on account of. As this court rightly mentioned, this is a pre-Real ID Act. As it was said in this case of SINHA, S-I-N-H-A, the standard in the pre-Real ID Act is that so long as the petitioner can show that his attackers were motivated, at least in part, by a protected ground, that is sufficient to establish that the action was on account of a protected ground within the meaning of the Immigration and Nationality Act. Your Honor, I'm still referring the court again to like I said, it's between page 133. Yes, Your Honor. Yes, at page 135. That is between lines 7 and 8. By January 2001, the days number exceeded 150. The people were ill over 2001. By that time, 2,100. You know, so this is the point. As at this time, I'm calling, this doesn't say they are dead, you know, but at page 135, lines 7 to 8, by the time The problem, by the time the petitioner was arrested, 2,100 people were suffering from the incident that were.
Thank you. Counsel, your time has expired.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Counsel, before you, first of all, the case just argued will be submitted for decision. But, counsel, while you're here, I had a question about your 28J letter. You know, we do have a limitation on the number of words that can be put in a 28J letter. You elected not to file a reply brief, but you filed a 28J letter with at least 2,500 words in it. And I just wondered, did you have an explanation for why you didn't follow the rule?
Your Honor, I think that was an oversight on my part. But
I'm sorry?
I think that was an oversight on my
oversight.
Part. Yes, but I believe most of the facts that were restated were already in the opening brief already. If we take that out, I believe probably the rest would be within.
All right, but I would just counsel you to please be aware, and to all counsel in the audience today, be aware of our rules because they're there for a purpose and we do expect them to be observed.
Thank you,
counsel. We'll hear now argument in the next case, which is MIL Liquidation, Inc. versus Westfall.